Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy. All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on an instant reaction show for the R&R CatCast. We're going to discuss the loss at Idaho, the 24-21 loss, and then we're going to break down some Big Sky games. We're here with Thorny doing a little bit of catharsis, but that will come mainly on Monday. We're going to try to stick to the facts right now, give you a little bit of the good, the okay, and the ugly. Here we go. Thorny, how you doing, buddy?
Doing all right, man, considering the outcome of the game. Sunday, we're recording our instant reaction show the next day. I think we were both pretty busy last night. It doesn't always happen, but here we are Sunday getting some instant, quote, reaction thoughts out to everybody on the tough road game in Moscow.
Correct. All right, let's go through the Big Sky games. First game up, I see, is Northern Colorado lost 0-40 in Missoula. So the Grizzlies go to 7-1, 4-1 in the Big Sky.
Shocking.
I didn't see any of the games. I was in Moscow. Did you see any of this game?
No, I caught maybe a little bit before the Cat game started. I think it started an hour beforehand, but I wasn't really paying attention to it because I knew it was going to be ugly.
Yeah. Dope. That one is...
not surprising. 40-0. Nope. Good job, I guess.
A surprising win to me was Portland State beating Eastern Washington. Although, I don't know, maybe I had that penciled in as a win. 47-35. That was in Hillsboro. Still, Portland State kind of came back from last week's loss against Idaho State. And if you look at the box score, Dante Sache didn't have himself a huge game, but Joby Mallory had 23 carries for 241 yards for Portland State. That is really impressive. When you have a one back over 200 yards, that's always something to know.
Yep. I mean, good Portland State kind of showed that who we thought they might be. After the, I think we're both kind of high on them after the Cat game, and then they kind of dropped one to Idaho State. But Idaho State has been tough, except for, I'm going to skip right to it since we're talking about them. Idaho State laid kind of an egg against Sac State. Sac State rebounded after the tough loss to the Cats by winning 51-16. I think Idaho State was up 16-14 in this game. And then apparently Sac State just put the foot on the pedal and coasted after that point.
Looks like they had a new quarterback, Sac State Conklin.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if Bennett got hurt, because Bennett is like one of the better quarterbacks in the league. So I'm not sure why they switched, or maybe he just had a bad game. I don't know. It's good. I didn't watch any of this, and I didn't read anything about it.
I was thinking Idaho State might have had a chance to win that game going into this, thinking kind of they were, a little bit mercurial as they're just rising up through the Big Sky, but hit a little bit of wall over there in Sacramento, looks like. So, interesting. Okay, last game that is on the docket over here is UC Davis and Northern Arizona. Northern Arizona beat them 38-21, and that was in Flagstaff. So, Northern Arizona is coming to Montana State next week. Miles Hastings had 327 yards for 2 touchdowns, but 3 interceptions. That's not good. That's not going to win it for you, so... The Lumberjacks continue to be up and down, and UC Davis continues to be what I kind of think they are, is just an average to sub-average team.
The box score on this game is wild. NAU had 11 first downs, 289 yards of offense, 1 for 9 on third down, and they scored 38 points in one. There had to have been a defensive touchdown or two. Were those interceptions from Miles Hastings a pick six or two? I mean, UC Davis had 27 first downs, 476 yards. It's a weird box score, man. It's one of those classic ones. If you looked at it and I didn't tell you who won the game, and you only had the ball for 23 minutes, just a weird one. And then turned the ball over three times themselves. So 7 total turnovers in this weird game. That I'll be interested to watch some of the highlights in this when we kind of scout NAU a little bit.
This is the first weekend I felt like I was blind to all other Big Sky games being a visitor at a Big Sky game. So I wasn't able to watch any. No other games out there. So just trying to look through them now, gather some information.
And the Idaho game was so close, and like, I didn't want to take my eyes off it. Sometimes I'll have the multi-screen, multicast up on Apple TV, but I didn't want it to watch anything else. I didn't want the screen to be taken up by anything else but the Bobcat game. So I also did not watch hardly any other Big Sky stuff on Saturday.
Okay. All right. Well, we're here to talk a little bit about the Montana State game. That's what we do. A lot of sad and mad feeling Bobcats around there, and that's okay. And we'll probably get more into that on Monday because there's a lot to talk about, obviously, in this game and to break it down. But still stings. You and I shared a text this morning, both pretty sad.
Yeah.
We're in that sad stage right now. I was a little bit mad yesterday and then moved towards the sad stage today. I think I'm coming out of it, but this one's going to take a little while to overcome, but winning will help. Montana State can galvanize two wins going into the Cat Grizz game. I think all of our goals are still out in front of us. We just have a harder path. Like I said, we'll get into that on Monday. But first, we're going to talk about the good, the okay, and then, unfortunately, we'll have to talk a little bit about the ugly.
The bad. We do bad the here, bad. Remember? We don't do ugly. Maybe in rare circumstances. I don't know. But we adjusted it to be good, okay, and bad.
Yeah, that's correct.
But for the good, oh, man, I'm having a hard time coming up with anything I thought was really good. I would say the second half offense, for the most part, was good.
I thought the third quarter was pretty good. Montana State owned the third quarter.
Was that 14-0 in that quarter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a fourth down stop in that quarter. We had complete momentum. I didn't think we were going to give it back. I was like, oh, man, here we go. We're actually going to do this. It's going to go. But it didn't happen. So that kind of sucked. But other than that, in the good, I thought Tommy Mott passed the ball pretty good. He had 24 attempts, which is unusual for him. I think Montana State leaned more on the pass because they felt a little bit desperate in that. But we're still talking about the good. You know, he had two touchdowns. One was a pop pass. But yeah, Tommy Mott looked good. And Julius Davis. And I'm still continuing to be impressed by his running ability and be able to break off big runs.
Tommy Mott started off something like 0 for 5 or something like that. And then I remember them showing like the second half stats at one point. He was like 11 for 13. So he had a great second half, which goes back into the offense. Having a really good second half, having a good third quarter. I think there were some good adjustments made and the Cats finally got things rolling. The play calling seemed to be a little bit more in line with what we would expect. Although it's still a very pass-heavy Cat attack. In fact, looking at this is crazy. I'm now just looking at the stats. The Cats passed more times than they ran the ball. When has that ever happened? 24 yeah. passes, 23 rushing attempts.
Tom Stuber.
We yeah, find
special stat.
That can't be very common for the Bobcats. That's crazy. That's only 47 plays.
Yeah.
So that, you know, if you don't get to 50, you're going to have a hard time. And that's, I'm going to get into this, why I thought the as few plays as we ran was especially bad. But sticking with the good, Tommy Lott's passing game looked pretty crisp. Julius Davis ran like a beast, as he is often to do, and utilizing Pickering. Had some nice catches today or yesterday, 4 catches for 87 yards. I want to give Pickering some love. He had that nice little pop pass type thing that we do. I forget what they call that one exactly, but then he had that nice diving catch on the final drive to keep the drive alive. Had some good plays.
We use that pass play to him probably twice a year, it feels like. And it always gains huge yards. Not sure why we don't go to it a little bit more, or at least disguise it. No, I'm not sure.
Maybe we save it for situations where we really need it.
Yeah. All right, let's move over to the okay. This was a personal one for me, the tailgate. The alumni tailgate was just okay, in my opinion. Thought there'd be more people. I did get to meet Mr. Tierney, who was a guy I recognized from Great Falls. He was looking for me. He goes, "Are you Ryan Foley?" I said, "Yeah." I was wearing my R&R sweatshirt. He goes, "Oh my gosh. I love listening to your guys' show. You guys are hilarious. The chili bit's my favorite." And so he was just, you know, just giving me handshakes and just chatting me up a little bit. And I was like, "Man, I recognize you." And he's like, "I go, what's your name?" And he told me. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, you're a Great Falls guy." And then I was driving home yesterday and I recognized that. I think when I was a young guy working at the Metalark Country Club in high school, I used to clean golf clubs. And I think when he would come in from the playing around, I would take the golf clubs off his cart and, you know, scrub them up and, you know, probably had interactions with him when I was a young guy. So that's kind of cool.
Nice. Well, I would put that in a good category. If someone recognizes the podcast out in the wild, that's always fun.
Yeah, he was so jacked to see me. He was so cool.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
All right. In the okay category, So I'm going to preface this by saying there's two parts to this. There's defensive play calling and then the way the defense actually played. I think the defense played okay. I don't think they played bad necessarily. I don't think the scheme was great, and we'll get into that probably more on Monday in particular, but I thought they did okay for what the coverages were, what they were called. I thought they were doing okay. They tackled okay. I mean, it was okay, but they just couldn't get off the field. They couldn't make a play. We needed somebody to make a play, and it just didn't happen. So I'm hesitant to call the defensive performance bad. I put it okay.
I didn't put anything else in the okay category, but I could get behind that. Thorny, I was looking at the team stats yesterday. So Idaho only had 107 yards of rushing, and they attempted it 44 times.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, actually. You know, kudos for Montana State. That's going to get lost in this.
I mean, even if you put in that 23 yards they lost on that backwards pass thing, that's still 44 carries for 130 yards. That's still good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I couldn't really think about anything. This game feels like polar opposites to me. So the okay category was kind of hard to parse out.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there's just, I mean, most of it's just like bad that I want to talk about. I might even put it in the good category. I thought the offensive line played pretty good.
Except they got beat on that last, the second to last play where two guys off the left side, they were just rushing forward.
They were just blitzing because they were just throwing everything at Tommy that last drive, and we were empty sets. So what, I mean, it was easy. It was an easy defensive scheme, and that's my frustration on that last drive, and we'll get into that at some point too. We're going to be a whole lot of that. We'll get into that type stuff on this one just because we want to keep this episode moving. There's a lot to unpack from this game.
Okay. I won't mention anything else on that. Let's move into the bad. I think we're just going to be kind of topical on this because we could wax a lot on this. But this first half offense, going 3-and-out for the first three possessions and not getting anything done, set the tone for the game to me.
Yep.
And I don't think we could ever actually dig ourselves out of that hole.
I mean, just imagine if one of those drives had like two first downs and we flipped the field position or something a little bit better. Just gave the defense three more minutes of breathing time. Yeah. Just going two straight 3-and-outs was just brutal. And then Idaho had those like just 7-8 minute drives. All of a sudden, Idaho had more points when they scored 10 points and more points than the Bobcats had run plays.
That's wild.
It was wild, man. It was a bad performance by the offense in the first half. And I think part of that was play calling. When the other team is known for just grinding things out, taking chunk, like 5 yards, 6 yards of play and trying to wear the clock down, you got to move the chains a little bit. I feel like we're going a little bit too home runny, too cute to start off the game. And instead we just went 3-and-out twice. And that just kind of put us behind in a hole that we kind of had a really hard time recovering from digging out of.
Vandals hit their first, they had 20 play drive for 59 yards for almost 11 minutes. That's when they got that field goal.
So the 20 plays on a drive, we rushed the ball 23 times. Just put that into perspective.
Yeah, 20 plays. Only for 59 yards, though. Think about that.
It was the most death by paper cut game I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, and kudos to Idaho, man, right? I mean, that's what we do to people. We normally don't do it with that many plays.
No, because we hit big plays sometimes.
Yeah.
At this. The longest run they had was 16 yards, and the longest pass play they had was 30 yards. It was just inches all over the place. Just 2 yards here, 4 yards here, 6 yards here, 12 yards every now and again when they need it. That was it.
And it felt like Eck was willing to go for fourth down almost anywhere on the field.
And I thought it was going to cost them on the last one that they went on, and we stopped them, got the ball back, and then we drove down. I think we scored a touchdown on it, maybe.
Correct.
So I was like, all right, Eck finally made a mistake. We finally capitalized on it. We're going to take back control of this game. And I don't know what happened next. They probably had a 9-minute drive that scored a touchdown on the next one. So painful.
All right. Let's see. Something else in the bad category is not running the ball in that last drive. I thought, even though Tommy Mollett was stroking the ball down the field, And he did a nice job on that. We needed to manage the clock a little bit better there, because even if we did score on one of those passes, I was going to leave about 50, let's just call it 30 to 50 seconds left on the clock for them to make some plays down the field. And, you know, Jason Eck, we always call him a riverboat gambler. He's going to pull out everything in that matter. So even if we did score right there, Thorny, which would have been awesome, no doubt would have been like, oh my gosh, we're going to win this game. It would have been tight clinching to see, to hold on. And so I think we were running the ball awesome in the second half. They couldn't stop us, and we kind of abandoned that, especially when it got down into the 20s. We had three timeouts. I know a lot of people on Bobcat Nation are making a stink about it, and I kind of agree with them on this one. We went away from something that was our bread and butter to something very trivial. We weren't hitting a lot of those back shoulder passes, haven't been all year. And we went back to back to Cleveland on that, and then that just kind of set up third and long, and then that's when the sack happened, when two guys beat Connor Moore and Rush Reimer. That wasn't even a blitz. They just straight up beat them one-on-one plays. Credit to those guys.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's the easiest position a defensive lineman will ever be in, is when he just, all he has to do is worry about getting the quarterback. Doesn't have to worry about anything else.
Yep.
Pin the ears back, as they say. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what had happened on that is I liked the play calling because, you know, we only had 2 minutes and 47 seconds left when the drive started, but we moved down the field so well throwing the ball that we got down on their side of the field so quickly that we could, okay, now we can go back to the run game. Because you did what you needed to do. You threw the ball, you moved the ball, and you got into position, and then we just kind of started throwing these fades. Like, when we still had over a minute left, we could have just kept grinding the ball closer, and then that's when you can do like a bootleg play action thing, and then Tommy just waltzes into the end zone for the game-winning score.
Yeah.
And instead, we threw it up to very well-covered receivers. Kudos to Idaho secondary. They were like glue, and they all looked like they were taller guys too. So that, but they were well covered, and we just kept doing the same thing. Like, it was just, oh, I mean, even like with how much they were blitzing right there, you could have had a guy stop and then just do like a little out route, and then the guy cuts back in and he can run the ball up the field for 15 yards. Like, we didn't have to go for a touchdown on those. We had plenty of time.
I was thinking we'd do like a quarterback draw
or
something, you know, make one person miss, get 10 yards. At least get it into chip shot range, you know. Hopefully go to overtime at that point.
There's no such thing as a chip shot right now, fully. That's the other bad thing we'll talk about. I don't want to rip on it too hard right now, but the kicking game is a problem. And did you have any faith that he was going to make that kick?
I don't even know if I want to say it. First, I want to say I just feel bad for the kid. Like, honestly, when I was come down to it, after I get done being mad and cynical, I just feel bad for the kid because, you know, he just feels terrible and kind of feels like he's been put in a position to fail a little bit. And we want him to overcome this for sure. Yeah. Like it's a production type of position, and it's just not, you know, you're not seeing the production right now, and it can't be personal at that point. You just got to say, hey, you got to make a shift. You got to do something different there. And it's really kind of disheartening as a Cat fan.
I wanted nothing more than for him to have a redemption story. He makes that kick, all the other previous misses are like, whoosh, gone.
Yeah.
At least put in the very back of the mind, he had a chance to become the hero, and he missed it the same way he's missed every single kick, man. Just pushes it straight to the right.
Yeah.
Badly. Like, it wasn't even close again. You could see it on TV, man. You weren't there. If you rewatch the game, They were showing his face on, he looked scared. You could see it in his face. Like, he looked like he was nervous as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt bad. Like, you just see it on his face. Like, he's not making this kick. I hate it so much.
I was able to watch him warm up, and he was stroking him. He looked good. He does. He really does look good in the warm ups. There's something goes on, man, between the head and when it's live, though. So,
well, nothing,
I feel for the kid.
Nothing more harder than a game-winning or game-tying kick, though.
I think it's disingenuous for a whole thread to be spoken about him on Bobcat Nation. Not disingenuous. That's a wrong word. I think it's crappy. I'll just call it that. Like, I'm not trying to be the moral police right here, but I don't know. I'm not going to contribute to that.
No,
but my thoughts are with him, and we need to fix it. And I hope he can overcome that and gain some confidence in his kicking abilities. he is a badass punter. He hit like a 6-yard punt in that game that completely flipped the field.
His kickoffs alone are worth a scholarship.
Yes.
Exactly. Not having to hardly ever cover a kick return. Mm-hmm. That's worth a scholarship. Yeah.
He's been an absolute weapon for us, but it did come back to bite us.
I think the magnifying glass is on him a little bit because up until, you know, maybe this game, all the other aspects of the team looked so solid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have a really solid offense. The defense was playing really well. Special teams outside of field goals are playing pretty well. So it's easy to, like, point at the one weakness and kind of harp in on it. And that's probably why there's the threat on it. But he doesn't deserve that, man. But we got to figure it out, though.
All right. My experience in Moscow was not that great. The Kibbe Dome was interesting. First, when I walked in, I was super impressed. It's actually a lot bigger than when you are watching it on TV, which makes it look more dingy. It's really not that dingy. It's kind of a nice
It dome. Doesn't look good on TV. Photographs, it just doesn't look good. I've never been there.
So I was going in thinking, oh, man, this is just going to, you know, meet my expectations.
Like Idaho State's dome?
Yeah. It was better. But, man, I mean, I'm not going to complain about them too much, but just quite my interactions with the Idaho fans was not great. And, you know, stuff my kids had to hear was not great. And, you know, it was loud and good on them. They should be loud. And they definitely had that place going. And they played the fight song as much as a band could ever play a fight song. But, yeah, just not happy with some of my interactions with those fans. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, good job mentioning it. Yeah, but you probably don't need to dig into it very much. But that is no fun, especially when you take your family somewhere. But it's kind of just how it goes, being an opposing fan, and especially if you're near students. It's kind of how it goes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's alcohol in the stadium. So always feeling it.
That's always going to add to the situation.
But it just wasn't the students. Some of them was the students. I had to run in with a student afterwards. But it was there's the collection of families around me and my family, and just kind of disappointing. So whatever.
Let's see. What else can I shift to? So I alluded to this a little bit earlier. I want to start wrapping this episode up because I am a little busy on this Sunday, but I just didn't love the game plan in terms of, I think maybe I did mention it already, but you know, they're going to keep the ball. So you wanted to be able to move the chains a little bit better. I already mentioned that. So never mind. I already covered that. Gosh, yeah, what else is in the bad?
Time of possession, man.
Well, that's all tied together, though. Like, that's the result of the defense not getting out the field. So I guess that's the other bad part, is the defensive scheme. I understand we're trying to contain a mobile quarterback. I understand that we're not trying to give up the big play. But you got to be a little bit more aggressive, especially in the second half when momentum's going well for us offensively. And you just can't keep giving up those 8-minute drives, man. You got to dial up some blitzes. You got to do something. You got to put a guy in a position to at least turn the tables instead of just playing it safe the entire time.
Man, if there's one pre-moment right there, it's that. Gamble a little bit. Send it.
Yeah.
We saw what the Grizz did. I thought for sure Montana State would be more blitz-heavy on this. But we didn't. And that's something I just sit here and shrug my shoulders. In essence, though, we got beat in all three phases yesterday. They hit a 53-yard field goal. We missed both of ours. They had time of possession with the offense grinding out. That's what we normally do. And then our defense, like you said, played okay. And I thought their defense played about as good as they probably could have played. So it was a great game for them. They came off the bye and just kicked our butts straight up. And I guess if that a 3-point loss is kicking our butts, then maybe there's a silver lining in that. This could be a silver thing where Montana State circles the wagons now and then motivates them going forward. But it didn't have to be this way. We could have had, you know, could have taken this one off the board and then come home knowing, okay, we probably just secured our position in the playoffs. We just got the 7th win. And we're looking at home field now for the playoffs if we continue to take care of business. But now, that's all up to chance now. So
a little bit,
here we go.
Yeah, I had a really good game plan, man. I put it on Twitter on the CatCast count. I said kudos to Idaho. They played a good game. People were kind of arguing with that. They did play a good game. Did they play a great game? I don't know if I'd say they're great, but they played a good game, and they had a great game plan. And they executed the game plan, and it won. Mm-hmm. They won. It took a a dropped touchdown pass and two botched field goal attempts, but they won. Like, it's that's the ugly thing. Taco, I'm so, oh, buddy, you got to catch a wide open touchdown pass. You got to catch it.
It was moments so deflating. Like that, right? Yeah. You can think back to a couple plays, but it is a collection of paper cuts. It's the fourth downs that they went 3 out of 4 on that just, you know, sit in my gut. But right now, here's what I hope the Cats are doing. I hope the coaching staff is looking at themselves in the mirror a little bit. Because I thought, you know, if we're pointing fingers, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But there's some things that were, like, kind of questionable. And for the first time, I thought kind of Coach Vegan was outplayed or outcoached. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been able to say that often.
No.
We've praised Coach Vegan quite a bit and his staff. And it just seemed different. Whatever that was, it just seemed different.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to sit here and say every time we lose, we were outcoached. So I'd be curious to go back and how do I feel that way about all of our losses? But yeah, I did feel like Eck and company did have a better game plan anyway. And so outcoached, if that's how you want to phrase it, sure. We'll talk about it more on Monday.
There's a lot of coaches doing a lot of jobs. And let me in on a positive. So here it is, Thorny. Being a fan at the game, I was able to watch the sidelines because you never get to see the sidelines on TV. Kudos to the coaches on the sidelines. Those guys are cool, calm, and collected, and joyful, and pump the guys up when they need to. But like when things are going bad, like they just huddle those guys up and they teach. They're great teachers, and they have those players have a rapt attention to those coaches. Coach Howe, Coach Johnson, our offensive line coach. Just great teachers on the sideline. That's really cool to see. There was no shaming.
There we go. That's a good positive note to end on. And I don't really have anything else to say because we'll dive into anything else on Monday. So
sounds good.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening to our little sad episode here. Hope we kept it a little bit positive though. But there's a lot of talk about this game. I'm not distraught. Season's not over, so let's not be too down, Bobcat fans. But let's meet back here on Monday night. And we'll put out a call for some Golden Cooley questions. I'm sure everyone has lots of questions about this game, and we'll try and get to them. And maybe questions for the next couple opponents and all that good stuff. So, boy, let's just get out of here, man. Let's call it. Let's go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.